All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie. How you doing, buddy?
I am making...
You're taking off a couple days, so I'm going to try to hold the fort down while you're gone.
You think you can do that?
I'm going to try my best.
You got this.
You know?
You got this, yeah. Need a little break.
I will definitely try my best.
And I'm looking up at the TV screen. They're showing the Open.
It's where you're playing.
Oh, well, I plan on having some fun then. And I keep seeing Ricky Fowler on the screen.
Yeah.
So you must have done your homework a little bit with your pick of Mr. Ricky Fowler.
I didn't know that that's who they're picking.
I didn't say they're picking, but every time I look up, I see him on the screen. So that, to me, things happen for a reason, Napier.
The 18th. There's so many great golf courses in the world.
Oh, man.
Whoops, there's a nice picture. Scenery's good there. It's just, you know, it's all good.
Oh, yes, it is.
I'm telling you, man. When I grow up, I want to be just like Doug Christie.
I don't know about that. I don't know. Matter of fact, all the places that Mr. Napier has been, I'm putting my my stick pins on my, what do you call it? Not my cork board. My,
my gosh. Oak tag.
Oak tag.
You are a beauty. You know what Star has done? And I, at first I was like, was not keen on it.
Uh-huh.
But every single place that we've gone to, she buys a coffee mug from Starbucks, and it has the city's name on the outside of them.
Really?
It's a big deal with Starbucks. There are a lot of collectors out there. And so when we travel anywhere that we've never been, she gets a Starbucks mug. And you know what? It's actually, we now have it in a it is very, very, no, really. It's very cool.
But when I hear you say something, being around you, so you say, you know, I wasn't a big fan of it. So that takes me automatically to the first conversation, like, what the hell are you doing?
No, you know what? It wasn't like that. I'll tell you why I wasn't a big fan of it. And I know you're going to think this is crazy. But once you buy it, then you've got to pack it and carry it. And when you're traveling, and we do not. I'm telling you, though. All right, so here's what they look like, all the different – so they look like that and have all the different places you've been in the world.
I've never noticed those.
Oh, they're everywhere. Every Starbucks anywhere in the world has them. And so we have – it's very cool, is it not?
Yeah, that's
okay.
All right.
All right, but let's say you go to two or three countries on a trip and you're traveling with a carry-on.
Maybe you need to order those ones online.
But we don't like to order them online.
Who carries them?
I don't even think you can order them online. I may be wrong. I think you can order them on eBay. But
hey, Grant, you can order anything online. Anything.
All right.
Anything. I'm just telling you. Come on. You should
can
do
we
that.
Order an all-star for the Sacramento Kings this year online?
Why you always be shooting down my stuff,
I'm
man?
Just asking a question.
Man, I wish we could.
But anyway, getting back to the thing, it's very cool that we have – like,
so on a trip, what's the most countries you've been to? Because I hear you go, oh, yeah, we went there and there and there. And then because that would be the one that you guys went around the world last year, right?
Yeah. So we got a mug in. I would say so. So we got a mug in Singapore. We got one in Hong Kong. We got one in Dubai. They didn't have them in the Maldives. There wasn't a Starbucks there, so we couldn't get one for there.
Hey, Starbucks, come on. Step your game up.
So, but what I'm saying is, so let's just say you buy three mugs, and, you know, they come in that takes up a lot of room. I know you think I'm – but think about it. We take carry-ons.
Come on.
All right. Let's get to Rob. Hello, Rob. Or Bob. Hello, Bob. How are you?
Hi, guys. Pretty good. I'm not very hot on this Bielica. I just don't think we need another mediocre power forward.
He's not a power forward, but I understand your point. He's a small forward, stretch forward.
Is he? Okay. I think we'd be better for one more year of Vince Carter to come in and help us close out some games. What do you think about old Vince?
I just don't see that being realistic. I don't think Vince Carter's going to be on the Kings this year. I really don't.
I don't think anybody really is. Too excited about him, but for a year and until we can find a better guy to come in, I think it might be useful.
Hey, listen, you're talking to two huge Vince Carter fans.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's realistic. I don't think he's going to be on the Kings next year.
Okay, I don't think so either, but I'd like to see him instead of this guy.
Okay. Hey,
thank you.
All right, hey, thank you.
I want to ask you a question, Grant, because as I hear fans, I told you I'm staying away from social media, so I haven't been on there, so I don't know what's going on. But when Webb came, they got Jason. Vlade came before that.
No, he came. That was that year.
That year.
Right. They all came at the same time.
Right. The Kings start. They play.
It was the 50-game season.
And right before you get myself and you get Bobby
yes.
and you get – what were the callers saying? Like, well, screw Christie, hell with Bobby Jackson?
I honestly don't remember about screw Christie, but Corliss Williamson was unbelievably popular here.
Okay.
And I honestly don't remember.
The reason I'm asking
I really don't remember. Now, Bobby was signed as a free agent.
The reason I'm asking you, and I'm not saying that Bielitsa's this guy, but until that gumbo gets together, you just never know how it happens. And when it happened, I was talking to Chris about this, what to expect. We didn't know what to expect. And all of a sudden, as soon as we hit the floor in practice, I was like, oh, okay, wow.
Well, the Kings had Vernon Maxwell during that year.
Yes.
And Vernon played very well for the Kings, and they didn't re-sign him. And everyone was like, so they replaced him with Tony Delk. And you know what? Tony played very well
for
us.
He was solid,
very solid. Then they lost Tony, and they replaced Tony with Bobby Jackson. And people didn't really know a lot about Bobby. He had played at Minnesota, but he was, And Bobby, within less than 5 to 10 games.
Oh, yeah.
You knew that the Kings had hit a grand slam home run with that.
Right. I mean, I could tell in practice from day one because we came in together and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are solid. And the competitiveness is that, for me, that's a lot of it, is how competitive are you going to be against each other? And automatically, I saw that part. I just asked because as I hear additions and different things like that, it's always a lot more critical because of all the moves that have been made by the Sacramento Kings previous to now, and even some now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of criticalness.
You know, again, we keep on talking about what a successful season is going to look like this year. And you and I are throwing numbers out right now, which is very difficult to do because it's July 17th. But
no, I'm not saying what I think they're going to get. I'm saying what I think would be a success.
Okay. Well, I think a success, to me, if you can hit 35, that's a successful season.
I would. I mean, 35 is real close to where I'm thinking.
Right.
I'm saying trending towards 40, and 35 is trending towards 40.
It's
got to
be a 35 where you go into this offseason going, boy, De'Aaron Fox is going to be an all-star. Wow, Harry Giles is healthy, and just look at him blossom. Wow, Marvin Bagley looks like he was the right pick at number two.
Right.
Or even if there's a player at 4 or 5 or 6 that's better than him, that's okay. As long as Marvin Bagley looks like he's going to be the real deal, I don't care if there's a guy at 3 or 4 or 5 that may be better. I'm really okay. As long as Marvin Bagley is a very good player, then I don't think it matters. Those are some of the things that have to come up in the right direction.
Yes. And if those things happen, and that's meaning that Kings, like I'm saying, are trending towards that 40 mark, now we're talking about the improvement that can go forward. The first year here getting swept by the Lakers when I came. But we could, as a team, feel an incremental improvement, and that is – it's vastly important, obviously, for Kings fans, but also for the organization.
All right, let's get to Steven. Hello, Steven.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, just really quick, off of your last comment, because this is like, we've had a lot of draft picks over the years, obviously being in the lottery so long, and it's kind of like, is where I think a lot of Kings fans have frustration. There's like, as much as I'm still high on De'Aaron Fox, but does it burn you up to watch Donovan Mitchell as good as he is?
No, it doesn't burn me up, and I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to go back to something I just said about Marvin Bagley. If De'Aaron Fox turns out to be very good, then you still have a player that plays a position that was the biggest need on your board, who is the real deal. Now, maybe De'Aaron Fox never gets to be as good as Donovan Mitchell. Maybe 3 years from now, we're sitting there going, wow, De'Aaron Fox is an all-star just like Donovan Mitchell is. I mean, that's you understand what I mean? Like, if we go back in time after the first year that Tyreek Evans and Steph Curry were in the league, I guarantee you the folks in Golden State, even though they didn't have a chance to take Tyreek Evans, they're probably going, wow, the Kings got themselves an unbelievable player. Look at how great he is. And I still think Tyreek Evans has had a very good career. I really do. But he's not, you know, we wouldn't say Steph Curry. You know what I mean? So these things change in a few years.
You know,
I guess I just always go from the standpoint of you want the best player for your team, right? And, you know, there's so many, like, you know, there's so many draft picks that the Kings have passed on. That, you know, when we talk about Marvin Bagley, when we get up to number two, you're like, we got to hit a home run with this guy.
Yes,
I think you were saying the same thing.
I definitely agree with you.
Well, here's my what I really wanted to ask you guys about was Willie Cauley-Stein. Because with us drafting Bagley, it felt like we're kind of moving away from him in the future. And for my take on the Kings last year, I really felt like he made a lot of strides offensively, you know, in his game. He's never been the dominant defensive player that I thought he was going to be, as far as like blocking 2.5 shots a game or whatever you want, whatever that number is and that impact. But he is, like, you know, a modern day big that can switch out on pick and rolls. He's athletic. What do you guys? I mean, how do we let these young players grow? Because now we've had him, what, 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
He should be, you know, making that next step now.
Well, that's been the whole frustration with Willie Cauley-Stein. Is he has shown brilliance. He is the modern day big guy that can, like you just said, step out, guard a lot of different positions, pick and roll, run the floor, block shots, all those different things. But he's shown it in spottiness as opposed to the ability to stay real consistent with it. And that's one of the things when I talk about how you take that next step as a team, when you can write down and you can pencil a guy in, you know, Bobby's going to give you 16 points a night off the bench. Doug is going to do this. Mike is going to do that. Chris.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, now you're cooking, because now you know exactly what you're going to get. It don't get me wrong. It goes up and down a little bit, but not to the level that it has. This is the most important year for Willie Cauley-Stein that he's ever going to face in his career.
It is. That's exactly right. This is his payday year. And
so do you guys think that he can, that we can find these things out? Like, because to be consistent, you have to be able to go out there and play and not be looking over your shoulder constantly as a young player, right?
So to answer your question, because I think where you're going to find that out, in my opinion, is you find that out in practice. You're going to have to go in there every day and beat the hell out of somebody. And you're going to have to demonstrate. I was telling Grant and the listeners about myself when I got traded from New York to Toronto. And the guy who was playing in front of me in New York then came to Toronto, Hubert Davis. And I said, it ain't happening here. So we're getting after it. Not that I don't like him.
He's not taking your job.
Exactly. And that's the type of environment that has to be built. So before you even step on the court, we should automatically know that in practice, and that's why you see him starting.
And here's the other issue for Willie Cauley-Stein, okay? You as a friend, and this is not just the Kings, this is every franchise, and I think the Lakers went through this with Julius Randle.
Mm-hmm.
You have to decide through the entire process of having an individual on your team, first year, second year, third year, fourth year, okay? You have to decide whether that individual is worth a long-term investment, whereas you feel confident that you are going to get a return on your investment. There are, and Doug knows this better than I do, there are some players that are changed by signing a contract. I saw it with Marcus Thornton.
Happens all the time.
Marcus Thornton came to Sacramento in the middle of the year and played his you-know-what off. The Kings rewarded him with a deal, and he basically mailed it in, all right? And I don't mean mailed it in where he didn't play hard, but he was really about, hey, I got my money, screw you, all right? That type of a deal. And I'm not saying that's the case with Willie. I'm using this as an example. If Willie Cauley-Stein has a good year coming up, but Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles also look like they are the real deals, They may not sign Willie. They may try to do a sign and trade. They may try to move him before the All-Star break. Before the trade deadline. There are all types of possibilities, because as an organization, if you're going to write a big check, all right, and you're going to sign someone long-term for big money, you can't be wondering, gee, are they going to take the money and run? Are they going to give me 70% of what they have? Are they going to give me 80%? Or are they going to give me exactly what they gave me this past year when they were fighting for their contract?
I hear you. I don't mean to take up too much time. How do you guys foresee, like, you know, any type of rotation? I mean, it's a logjam. You know, when I'm looking at, you know, Willie and you're looking at Harry, has to get minutes. I mean, Harry Giles, the skill set that he has shown in flashes, you have to put this kid out on the floor.
He's going to be playing. He's going to be playing a lot.
But this is how you determine that. Who step up? Who earns it? You earn it in practice. You guys are going after each other in practice. And then what that does is that makes somebody expendable.
Harry would have been playing last year if they decided to play him instead of redshirting him. He had proven in practice that he could have played last year.
Yeah.
So you're right. Hey, thank you for the call.
Zach Randolph, you have other guys as well.
Okay, well, I don't see Zach playing a lot this year for this reason. And again, Doug and I are huge Zach Randolph fans. Mm-hmm. I don't see Zach being able to run with the pace the Kings are going to be playing at this year. Does not suit him.
And that would be – I can see a great three-man big-man rotation with those guys. I just didn't know how –
I wouldn't discount Scott LaBissiere. I think Scott's got a lot of upside.
He's got a lot of potential. Yeah, all right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. I will end that conversation by saying this. I think it is highly unlikely that next year at this time the Sacramento Kings will have Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles, Scott LaBissiere, and Willie Cauley-Stein all on the roster. I think it's highly unlikely. I think it's highly unlikely that Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles will not be on this team. So in other words, that leaves Scal and Willie. I think one of those guys will not be on the team next summer.
It could be true. It could be where they all come in and they've improved themselves and you figure out a rotation, but then somebody becomes very valuable to somebody else and now you're able to trade that person and go out and get what you need.
All right, let's get to Dylan. What's up, Dylan? Let me get that again.
Dylan, what's up? Hi, Grant. Hi, Doug. It comes back to what you guys were talking about, a trade. You guys think you guys should do like in Oklahoma City and trade for one of these free agents that's going to come up next year? Because they said wasn't going to stay.
The Kings are going to have a ton of money next year. And they will do some shopping next year big time. Absolutely. Now, will they get who they want? I don't know. But here's what I do know. If the Kings have a promising year and they're knocking on the door of being good, that will give them a much better chance of landing one of those free agents.
Yeah, because like you guys said earlier, too, is you guys got to kind of see what's going to go on with these players. They got to make kind of leaps and bounds here and there, you know?
Yes.
And then basically, if the season's going a little bit good for you guys, because I'm a Warriors fan. I've been a Warriors fan my whole life. But you guys are making strides, and the Warriors were really sucky for a long time, you know? So I see potential in you guys.
Hey, appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Let's get to Al. Hello, Al.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Al?
Kind of listening to the conversation being had. And one of the things that kind of comes to my mind a lot is when you're showing promise in a player, and again, it's provided you're showing promise in a player, at what point does the new talent acquisition and the promising kind of stay on the roster together to really build the depth that you're looking at? I mean, when you're looking at the strongest teams that are showing up in the East and in the West, they tend to be, you know, two to three deep in some positions, deep in some positions, but at least two deep.
Yes.
And, you know, we're at a team where we constantly say we have a talent deficiency, yet we're now saying that, you know, somebody's got to go. Now, again, I agree that probably having the four of Scal, Willie, Harry, and Marvin, you know, is probably going to be a hard thing to maintain, but Marvin and Harry still have to develop. And you have Scal and Willie, you are getting some true NBA experience where it's like, okay, you should see strides by these guys.
Right.
But again, if you're constantly worrying about, am I going to be here or not, how does that impact the way you play for the team? Well, you know what I mean? Like, if you know that I'm probably going to get shipped out, I'll go ahead.
So first of all, when you have that opportunity, that's where you got to show that hunger and develop that consistency. To what you're saying as far as the depth, I would agree with you. But that depth then has to agree upon sacrifice and some different things. I use Bobby again. Bobby Jackson could have been a starter on a lot of teams, but he sacrificed to come as a sixth man on our team. So some of these guys maybe think more of themselves than they are or have shown, and they do have that type of talent. Are you willing to give up some of your minutes so that we do have the depth, or you're not and you have to move on? Now I have to go find somebody else who's willing to serve that purpose, because I agree with what you're saying. Incredible depth. If those are your four big guys, Scal, Willie, Marvin, and Harry, wow, that's awesome. But can they all work together is my point.
Absolutely. And I think the last question I have for you that kind of speaking to what you just said is, how do you kind of develop the chemistry within the team for guys to get that? So I understand if, like you said, you know, Bobby Jackson comes in from another team and takes on that role, but where you're a younger team and you're trying to develop it, you know, you would hope that the idea is that with the coaching staff being in, you know, being intact for as many years as we've locked them in, with some of these younger players getting a chance to develop with one another, that chemistry would kind of come together. But, you know, clearly there's no one way in the NBA, but is that something that can happen within a young core that you're kind of developing? That's kind of say, I'll settle into this role.
Yeah, there is a way to do that. First and foremost, it's the competitiveness in practice. Who's the best? Let's define that right now. Let's get after it. Let's see who rises to the top. Who is that starter based upon their performance? And based upon their performance, now we start developing our pecking order and what have you.
We'll come right back. More of your phone calls on Sports 1140. We move right along here. Yesterday, we were talking about the rumors about Greg Papa being replaced by Brent Musburger as the voice of the Oakland Raiders.
Yes.
Tom Flores was contacted today, and he said, quote, I'm assuming I still have a job myself. All right? He was asked about Greg Papa. He's going to be missed. Nothing is forever. They also contacted Lincoln Kennedy. He declined comment. He said he did not want to discuss a situation that could possibly affect him without knowing the details. Papa is on vacation. He plans on addressing the situation on his radio show in San Francisco on Monday. Now, there are a lot of rumors about what happened here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are also a lot of comments today about Greg Papa. Tom Flores said he brought the Raiders excitement and mystique and joy every Sunday and shared it with everybody. We had a good chemistry from the very first day. Well, listen, Tom Flores is a great guy. And Tom Flores is an easy guy to have chemistry with. He's not very good on the air, in my opinion. That's me. But he's a great person, and I can see that, all right? Napoleon Kaufman, former running back. Maybe there is something I don't know, but yeah, I'm shocked. All right? If it was an exciting play, he sounded excited. He didn't try to oversell what people were seeing. Now, I want to read a story from the San Jose Mercury News. I want to read some excerpts from here, all right? Because if you remember yesterday, I talked about Gary Radnich, who's the sports icon in the Bay Area.
Right.
Who said that there must be something personal going on for this to happen. All right. Now, everyone in the Bay Area knows that Greg Papa never had the relationship with Mark Davis, the son of Al Davis, like he had with Al.
Okay.
All right. Greg Papa said, quote, when Al Davis's health was failing, he said he was like my second father, Greg Papa talking about Al Davis. And that Greg said he and Al used to talk right up to the end of his life. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And Greg Papa is not afraid to speak. Yeah, right. When the Raiders hired Jack Del Rio as coach, Mark Davis had acknowledged that Mike Shanahan was a potential candidate. Now, if you go back and look at the history between Mike Shanahan and Al Davis, it was not good. Shanahan was fired by Al in 1989 when he hired Art Shell. All right? And it was a real divider between those two. Call it a grudge, call it whatever you want. That lasted until Al's life ended in, what was that, 2011, I believe. All right. Greg Papa went on his radio show in San Francisco on 95.7 and said, quote, all right, as close as I am with Al and was with Al, and knowing the animosity that he felt toward Mike Shanahan, the fact that we're having this discussion mm-hmm. is beyond disrespectful. Meaning when the was Mike Shanahan possibly would become the head coach of the Raiders.
Right.
All right. Papa said on a Mercury News podcast with a former columnist and a well-known media member in San Francisco by the name of Tim Kawakami, who we've had on this show before.
Yeah, Timmy.
He said on the podcast that he told Mark Davis back then that if Mike Shanahan was hired by the Raiders, that he would resign. Okay?
Pop said that.
That's right. He said that. According to the Mercury News podcast.
Okay.
Which, it's a podcast. It's, you can hear it. On the same podcast, Papa said that Al Davis had considered the preposterous idea of hiring the announcer for a role as a front office executive. Mark Davis wasn't happy with that either. In other words, Al Davis had said, you know what? I would actually like to have you as a member of our staff in the front office. Mark Davis, not happy with that. Mark Davis went a long way in getting Marcus Allen back in good graces with the Raiders. That was a real divider when Al traded Marcus to Kansas City. It was bad.
Yeah.
Papa knew that Al Davis, if he were alive, would have hated that idea and said so. All right? Now, what does this mean? It means that Greg Papa's relationship with Al Davis was much, much different than it is currently with Mark Davis. All right? So did Greg Papa, as I said yesterday, and I don't know what, did Greg Papa step out of his lane? He is an employee. He is the announcer. And Al Davis is dead. All right?
Mm-hmm.
God rest his soul.
Yes.
He's not with us anymore. At that point, you don't work for Al Davis. You work for Mark Davis. Mark Davis owns the football team.
Right.
You, as an employee, have a decision to make in regards to your employer.
Right.
Are you going to support your employer? Are you going to make comments about your employer that you know will not sit well with that individual, in this case, Mark Davis?
Tell me this.
Yes.
Are the Raiders a part of Papa's radio station? Because Papa's
they're the flagship station.
They are the flagship station. So similar to what's happening here with the Kings and you and being the King's voice, except your TV, he's radio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense. So somebody that was vastly, I guess, hated by ownership or whatever, you have that person on, and the ownership at that time feels that it's disrespectful.
Mark Davis did not, well, I don't want to speak for Mark Davis, but when Greg Papa said on the podcast that was done by Tim Kawakami of the San Jose Mercury News that he would resign if Mike Shanahan had been hired, and said on the air, and I was mistaken, when he did not, Greg Papa did not interview Mike Shanahan. He said, as quote, as close as I am with Al and was with Al.
Gotcha.
And knowing the animosity that he felt toward Mike Shanahan, the fact that we're having this discussion is beyond disrespectful. What does that mean? It means that Al told Greg how much his disdain for Mike Shanahan was, I mean, it was,
he understood.
And we all knew that. Al Davis and Mike Shanahan, it was bad, okay?
Really?
And the fact that Mark Davis considered having Mike Shanahan be come back and be a part of the Raiders organization, what Greg was inferring was Al would roll over in his grave if he knew this.
Okay.
All right? And Greg even said so on the air, which upset Mark Davis. And I get that, you know?
Yeah.
All right?
Do you think that, and I, like, I'm not, I don't want you to speak, but maybe you know. Do you think that Mark Davis understands the disdain that his dad had for Shanahan the way that Papa obviously understands?
Say that one more time.
Do you think that Mark Davis understands the disdain?
Yes. Yes.
The same way Papa does?
I think that Mark Davis would have to be living in a cave.
Okay.
With no way out not to know the disdain that Al had for Mike Shanahan, because everyone knows that. Not, you don't have to be part of the Davis family.
Okay.
It's common knowledge.
So, just the speculation. Why do you think he would do something like that? Like bring that guy back if he knew that his pops.
Yeah, I know. He was contemplating it when he hired. But again, that was a long time ago. Okay. There are other things that have happened.
Okay.
I don't know how Greg Papa is going to handle this on Monday when he speaks publicly about it for the first time.
Well, the fact that you said that he won't hold his tongue, meaning that he will.
I don't think he will. But I'm not. You know, again, I'm not. You know, Greg Papa and I are on the phone together every day. I've known Greg for 30 years. I think we have mutual respect for one another.
Right.
I have tremendous admiration and respect for him. I don't want to speak for him about me, but I believe it is there. I don't want to speak for Greg, but knowing Greg the way I do, and knowing his background and what he has accomplished in this business, I don't think Greg Papa's going to hold back on Monday. That's my opinion.
If that is the Raiders' flagship station,
that's going to be a real issue here.
That's where I'm going.
Right. So listen, the Raiders know that Greg Papa's coming back to work on Monday.
Right.
And they also, let's face it, that radio station needs the Raiders as their flagships. They need them, all right? Now, you may say, well, they don't really need them because they're going to be moving in a year. But for right now, they need them. They may not need them in 2 years, but for right now, they need them. All right? No, they do. Okay? So do I believe that before Greg goes on the air on Monday, the general manager is going to call him into the office and talk to him? Yes, I do. Do I believe that that's going to change how Greg Papa is going to handle this? No, I don't. And Greg also is very well aware that everyone in the world is going to be listening to his show on Monday, and that everything that he says is going to be, if it's confrontational, if it is with venom in it, it's going to be on Fox Sports 1. It's going to be on ESPN. It's going to be on the internet. I mean, it's going to be a big deal, all right? If he goes on the air Monday and torches Mark Davis, it's going to be front page news everywhere. In the sports world, not front page news around the world. I'm talking about the sports world.
Being in this business for 30 years, if he does that, does he still have a radio job?
Well, it depends on what he says and whether what he said is true or not.
Okay.
Because to me, the best defense is the truth. But there is a partnership, and we are now dealing with, and I don't know what the contract says between the Oakland Raiders and the flagship station of 95.7. I don't know if there's language in there that says, you know what, this is acceptable to be said on the air, but this isn't. To the best of my knowledge, there is no such language with the contract between the Sacramento Kings and KHDK. To the best of my knowledge, and I've never read it, but I would have heard about it, there's no such language, okay? So the host on this station, but there's also a thing called common sense.
Yes.
Okay, and to me, I always use common sense in all of my controversial topics in life. I always go back to common sense. Common sense is, it's okay to be critical, but you better be real careful that your criticism does not step over the boundary line where you have then really gone out of your way to win a battle that doesn't really need to be won.
Right.
All right? So I don't know how Greg's going to handle this on Monday. Because here's what I don't know. I don't know if Greg Papa was fired because of these type of comments that I just went over.
Or something else.
Correct. If Greg Papa, and when I say fired, I don't know if that's even, I don't know what his contract was. If Greg Papa was not re-signed.
Replaced. Or was, yep.
over these comments, and it had all of Mark Davis wanted a legendary, one of the most legendary broadcasters in the history of sports. That's one thing. If Greg Papa goes on and paints a picture that he was fired because Mark Davis doesn't like him and did not care for the comments that he made about Al, oh boy.
Oh boy.
We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. At 4:20 p.m., the Fresno Bee put out a story that Tom Flores also will not be back. And they have a quote from Tom Flores. This is from the Fresno Bee.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "This is part of the business world. All things come to an end. I was hoping I would last through the first year in Las Vegas, but it's not going to happen. In 20 years, I usually sign a contract right about this time, at least a week or two before the first game. It wasn't new when I didn't hear from them. When they let Papa go, I was, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'm next. And here I am."
Wow. It's, granted, it's part of the business, but at the same time, there's been so many things in Raider land that Raider fans, starting with the fact that they're going to Vegas, then some of the things that they did aren't happy with. I would be interested to hear from Raider fans, 339-1140, your take on Papa leaving, on Flores leaving, on Musburger coming.
This would have never, ever happened with if Al Davis were still alive. Never, ever, ever, ever,
ever. Do you mean happen in this way?
No, the Tom Flores and Greg Papa would announce until they died in their chairs. Al would have never replaced anyone.
Really?
No. No chance. Not one chance.
A loyalist to the grave.
If you're loyal to him, he would stand in front of you and take bullets for you. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep.
Hey, man.
If you were loyal to Al, then you had nothing to worry about. You would be a Raider for life, and he would take care of you, and you would always be a family member of the Oakland Raiders with Al Davis. And you can go talk to Jim Otto, who lives in this area. You can talk to Fred Biletnikoff, the Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You can talk to Jim Plunkett. You can talk to any of the Raiders that we, you know,
have
in Northern California, and they will tell you the same thing. All right?
That's, you know, oddly enough, that's similar to it. Their fan base, you know, when the team was moving, a lot of them called in. Some called in and said, look, I'm not down. But some of them called in and said, look, Raider Nation rides wherever we go. And from that standpoint, it makes sense when you have a owner that's going to do it like that.
All right, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. So what do you feel, all right, about no Greg Papa, no Tom Flores? What do you think? It's going to be Brent Musburger, and I'm going to assume, and I'm only assuming, so don't hold me to this. I'm assuming it's going to be Brent Musburger and Lincoln Kennedy.
Okay, Link.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but from that standpoint, going from the sideline, you know, oddly enough, it's similar, but, you know, like I always said, Jerry here, he gets to call his shot however
right.
he wants
and
to go.
It should be that way.
Absolutely, it
Same
should
with
be.
Gary Gerald.
Right.
Right.
As
long as you're able to do your job.
Yes, absolutely. Right. That goes without saying.
Gary Gerald should be able to do the games.
Till he.
And Jerry or whoever.
Yes.
Right? Exactly.
Yes.
All right, let's get to some phone calls with Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing great.
I just want to say Mark Davis has shown his true colors. He has no loyalty to Raider Nation. I've been a diehard Raider fan since I was a little kid. I'm 47 years old, and this is ridiculous. It's not going to sound the same on the radio anymore.
Well, it's wrong. And now, again, when I say it's wrong, I don't really know what the real story is. So I don't want to – I'm not going to, you know –
Got to wait till Monday.
Yeah, I got to wait till Monday. All right, but it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
Are you a Raider fan that isn't a Raider fan since they're moving to Vegas, or you're going to ride with them wherever they go?
As long as they stay Raiders, I'm a Raider fan to life. You know, I'm a Raider fan, not a City fan.
Gotcha. Okay. Appreciate you.
Thank you. All right, let's get to Sam. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Grant, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm a fan of you. Thank you for your show. I wanted to just say about Greg, I'm a diehard Raider fan, and I just wanted to say I think it's his ambition, Greg Pop's ambition. I think he wants to go to the Niners or back to the Warriors.
How's he going
to
go to the Niners? They got Ted Robinson, who's a great announcer. I mean,
I agree with you, sir. But I think that the Niners are trying to come back. Their fan base is trying to come back. And that the Yorks would do something like that. They try to bring Papa over.
I really don't. I don't see any way in the world that the Yorks are going to do that to Ted Robinson. I'd be shocked.
I hope not, but I just think it's something they would do. But I think Greg wants to stay in the Bay Area for sure, and he has been noncommittal about going to Vegas. So, but that's all I want to say. You guys are great,
yep.
And thank you.
Thank you. There's no way in the world that you're going to take Ted Robinson off the games unless he wants to go off the games.
Would you be surprised at all if the reason, and I'm just throwing this out there because what the caller just said, was because Papa didn't want to move to Vegas?
That's garbage.
Okay.
And if Greg Papa comes on the air Monday and says that, he wasn't forced to move to Vegas. He could commute. I don't know if you know this or not, and I'm not saying this.
No. It's every Sunday.
It's a one-hour flight,
yeah.
And there are 10 flights a day from Oakland to Vegas. Yeah. All right? Stop it already.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to Dustin. Hello, Dustin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking me on today.
Thank you.
No problem. I've been watching since I was born, 25-plus years, and I think it's a bummer to see Papa go like this. I mean, I feel like he'd go wherever. He'd go to Vegas. I mean, he's been around the country for decades. I don't think he'd have a problem going wherever. It's just a bummer because I think he was one of the most objective, not biased commentators that we hear out there. I mean, a lot of the stations I listen to, they were listening to like a Titans game. Like you feel the energy for the Titans. You don't feel it for the other team, though. I feel like with Papa, he balanced it both ways. And so he's one of the most knowledgeable, energetic guys. And I think it's a shame to see him go like that. And I really hope that it was a little bit more mutual than we're kind of being led to believe. I hope he didn't get pushed out, because I think that would be a shame.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe. And thank you very much for the call. We're going to come back and continue on this with your phone calls. Maybe it was mutual. We'll find out Monday. We'll be right back.